I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
USC. The Utes battle the Trojans for a chance to play in back-to-back Rose Bowls. Pac-12 championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you back. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. But let's be honest here, you're not here for us. Well, you're probably here for Hans. But more importantly, you're here for Ron McBride and Alema Harrington. Coach is here. Coach, how you doing? Let's turn his mic on there. Keep her going. We'll see if we can get Coach. Alema, how are you doing?
I'm here. And let's be honest. People are here for Coach Mack. Coach Mack is like royalty when he walks in here or anywhere in the state of Utah and beyond, for that matter. Yeah. But
yeah, let's put him on a different port down here.
Of course, congratulations to
actually, yours is on. Coach, put that headset on right there.
To Utah basketball. That was a great interview. What a huge win for them.
I know, right? There you go, Coach. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Well, maybe. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
No, can't hear you either there. We'll
now it sounds like that other mic just went hot.
I know, right?
Yeah,
how about
that other mic's hot.
Coach, now by now.
Hello.
Hey!
Hello.
We got it.
Yeah.
Technology is our friend.
Yeah. All right, so
you
Coach.
You notice I cleaned my plate and got rid of all the evidence before Coach showed up because I knew.
I know you.
First thing he asked me, how much have you eaten, Alema?
Alema's not had a burger. He hasn't had anything.
I walk in here and his slate's all clean. I'm saying, they must not be serving food here.
Hans is down in Las Vegas, staying out of trouble. Hans, are you doing okay?
I'm doing great, Coach. Mac, I miss you. You doing okay?
Hey,
did you get a burger, Coach?
Yeah, I just got it. Hey, good. Let me ask you a question. I called you twice this week.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Hans.
About the safety at Lehigh. What's the kid's name? Saxon?
Sweat.
Yes, Cadian Sweat.
Cadian Sweat.
Yeah, so I wanted to know about him. That's why I called you.
He had three interceptions in the semi and the finals.
So...
And you sure you didn't call Lance, Coach? Because I think that sometimes...
Well, maybe.
That Lance Olson, he's hard to get a hold of, too.
Sometimes you confuse me for Lance. I'm worried you might have called him.
No, I didn't call Lance. I should have called your wife, is what I should have called.
She would have taken the call. No, he's a great player. In fact, I think, Lim, if I'm not mistaken, Weber State offered him. Scotty, Utah State offered him?
So yeah, Utah State and Colorado State have offered.
He picked up
And I'll tell you, those games, the semis and the finals, were good games for guys that were being under-recruited, like Kadeon Sweat and Micah Beckstead, the running back from Timpview.
Yeah.
He got a few offers, including Weber State. So that was good exposure for those guys. So, but that Kadeon Sweat kid, man, I tell you, he's a ball hawk.
Yeah. Well, so I got a call from the West Coast, more California, said, what about this kid at Lehigh? And I said, yeah, I've watched him. he's a really good player. He said, well, our coaches fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Watching him play.
Oh, okay, Hans, you need to – all right, tell Coach that he's a bad player because that kid needs to stay in state. I don't care where he plays in state, but he needs to play in state. Do not let Coach give him info to somewhere in the on the West Coast so that they come in and poach him.
I'm sending him out of state.
No, Coach.
See?
No, Coach. He's got to stay right here.
We got to keep those kids home if we can.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. No, he needs to go where it's best for him. But I like those local kids staying here in the here in the state for sure.
Yeah. In fact, Coach, in the semifinal game, and I'm just bringing this up because he's multifaceted. In the semifinal game, he had two interceptions, plus they put him at the Wildcat, and he scored one touchdown as the quarterback or Wildcat.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
All right, so, Coach, let's get your thoughts. Okay. Big one coming up tonight, USC. It's round number two, Utes and Trojans.
So let's talk about why they're there, okay? All right. So I had my predictions last week were, okay, UCLA would beat Cal, but it'd be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Cal would be a threat to them, but at some point that was a must-win for UCLA. And then the Washington State game was going to be in doubt, but Washington, because they have better players, would end up on top. The Oregon State game, because I figured that Oregon would be a tired football team because they've been in the Washington game and the Utah game, and if a game got down into the fourth quarter and Oregon did something to open the door, that Oregon State, because of the way they're built, they would walk right in because they're tough guys, and they played with no quarterback. Quarterback couldn't play for a little league team, and so they play with no quarterback and two great tailbacks, and a downhill run game, and special teams play. And then the coach not punting on a fourth and one, you know, because there's no way that Oregon State could take the ball like 85 yards just running the ball. Eventually, they're going to get a penalty. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But what happens? The guy doesn't punt it. He goes for it and he doesn't get it. And then the same thing on the goal line. They get down on the goal line. Oregon State makes the plays. Oregon loses the game. And then the Washington State game was terrific. And so I called my guy that makes bets in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
But when I called, it was too late for me to get a hold of him. I said, I'm going to let it go. But I was going to bet that with Monopoly money on that deal.
We call them Skittles.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. not real money, entertainment purposes only, folks.
Yeah, it's whatever. What's that guy who lost everybody's money? Credo.
Oh, yeah.
Credo money or whatever it is.
Yeah,
the crypto
money.
Yeah.
How would you like to be, hey, man, I got a lot of cryptos. I said, good for you, dude.
Coach Mack breaking down the cryptocurrency is not something I was expecting today, but here we are.
So I'm watching CNN News, and that guy who had crypto, he looked like death warmed over. Dude, say, well, I don't
dude
know.
Lost about $44 billion in the span of about 48 hours.
Yep. And he said, and his one answer is, I don't know what happened.
That sounds like an offensive lineman that gives up a sack. You're like, hey, what? I don't know.
I
what
don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, usually I didn't know. Like I usually.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
What? It was here the last time I checked, and now it's gone.
It's gone. And then I was at Utah practice this week, and I thought that the quarterback looked extremely good.
That's good news.
And everybody's going to play. There's no guy sitting out. So don't look for, like, a tight end not playing, a DB not playing. Everybody's playing. Because I asked both strength coaches, and everybody says, okay, dude, give me the scoop. Everybody plays.
Yeah.
And they looked really sharp, looked dialed in. And I was really impressed with the quarterback because – every throw he made, I watched the offensive practice for about a half hour, and I tell you what, he was extremely sharp at what he was doing. Didn't miss any throws, and he looked fluid. I mean, he was running well. So I think that I think what will happen is it'd be like that tree over there. Utah's just going to keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. It gets into the fourth quarter, and if that game's in the fourth quarter, I think Utah physically will take the game. But it's going to have to be a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But I like their chances, and I like where they're at, and they feel good. You know, the coaches feel good. There was no, you know, they're just going doing their business. There wasn't a lot of anxiety out there or a lot of this, none of this or that. Guys just going through their routine in a positive manner. So I like.
Do you think that this USC quarterback? Do you think that he's the Heisman winner this year?
Absolutely. I haven't seen a better guy. The only guy I might like a little bit is the guy from Washington. I think he is really good.
Penix.
Yeah, I think he's really good. But nobody in the United States compares to this guy at SC.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the guy, by the rules, has to come back for another year of college football. But I think...
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
If he were to go in the NFL draft right now, he'd still be the number one overall pick.
Well, he'd be taking a pay cut.
Life is good for that young man right now.
That might be close to true.
Hey, why should I go to the league when I'm making more money right here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, probably on a better team than where you go with the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Boy, so I think that he's all right where he is right now. But the kid makes throws that are ridiculous.
Well, his escapability is unbelievable.
It's like
he gets out of.
Like I had texted Morgan. I said, Morgan, you got to keep him in a cage like a hamster. Don't let him roam around the house.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you're going to be in trouble.
Hans, kind of set the scene. I mean, you're down there in Vegas. You're down. You're in the Mandalay Bay, where I know a lot of fans of this game. But is it a sea of red? I mean, and the Utah red down there?
It is. It's a sea of red, man. The sports book is packed in. The broadcast area kind of overlooks the Mandalay sports book. It's a beautiful broadcast area. And I'm just looking into the sports book, and it is jam-packed with Utah fans. It is all red. I'm not even kidding you guys. It is really impressive. There's a few USC colors mixed in here and there, but jam-packed. And you can already feel the buzz, the frenzy. Wesley Tonga, former Utah tight end, he stopped by. He's hanging out here in the studio. Christian Cox will all hit the Utah pregame show coming up at 5 o'clock Utah time. So we're excited about that. But I wanted to just ask Coach Mack, because Coach Mack, you just mentioned something that I think a lot of Utah fans have been hanging on, and that is the health of this team. So you're saying that you believe that pretty much everybody's available for this game tonight?
Everybody's playing.
So
there ain't one dude sitting.
That is really big news, because, you know, you worry about Dalton Kincaid. You worried about Clark Phillips. You worry about these guys. But
No. Don't worry about those dudes. They're right. Their minds are right. Their bodies are right. They're playing.
That's an incredible thing. Just talk about this, the importance of a guy like Clark Phillips against this USC passing attack. How much do you need a lockdown corner like Clark Phillips?
Well, that's an easy answer because Clark Phillips is a special player and probably the best corner in the Pac-12 for sure, and has incredible ball skills, he'll definitely be a huge plus, and the guys, you know, he's probably a first or second round draft choice, and you know he's a what they call a premier guy.
Well, to hear that he's healthy, or at least certainly healthy enough to play, I think we all felt like Cam Rising is healthy enough to play, but the level of health that he is in this game, and that's also another big statement he made, that he looked good in practice all day.
Yeah, the guy he was running well, you know, but he was working, they worked their rollout package, their boot package, you know, all their packages, and he looked really fresh, and he looked under control. And he didn't look like he was holding anything back.
What does this running game look like? No Tavian Thomas anymore. He's done.
Yeah.
What does this running attack look like for the University of Utah? And is that a concern of yours?
Well, yeah, it is. You know, the kid that shifted from quarterback to running back, I thought he looked good. You know, the freshman kid, the kid came from Alabama, he looked good. I mean, They're hitting the holes nice. They're full speed going through their drills now. If the Thomas, you know, the Thomas kid, when he's right, there's nobody better. Okay, so the Thomas kid, there's nobody comparable to him because he's a special back. But probably, you know, you hate to say it, but I think team wise, they're probably better off without him at this point.
I agree 100% on that.
Yeah.
There's times, and I think coaches understand this, right, that you can have a really talented guy that is lacking commitment, and at some point you weigh the pros and cons, and the pros of keeping him there start to diminish, yeah, and all of a sudden it makes sense to say, you know what, let's just cut him loose.
And then, you know, you read the thing that he wrote on whatever, on the media outlet,
yeah,
whatever, and you know that wasn't his.
No.
You know, either he already has an agent, you know, and the agent said he got his invitation to the Senior Bowl,
mm-hmm,
and really that's what he needed to get to the next level, but he has some baggage, so we'll see how that plays out. But there's no question on the kid's talent.
All right, take a break. Come back. You're listening to Hans and Scotty. It's a Football Friday. Weren't really anticipating a Football Friday today with a lot. I mean, frankly, it's 31-10 with Oregon leading Oregon State. That needing to go down. Utah beating Colorado wasn't a big issue there, but certainly one that but you had the Cal game, you had so many other games going down the line, and it all went Utah's way, and Utah's able to come away with a chance to earn back-to-back Pac-12 championships. Game tonight with the pregame show begins at 5 o'clock. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at Mountland Supply Power Equipment. You got all the snowblowers ready to go. Whatever you need, they've got it down here. Let's go. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game. Utah, USC. The Utes battle the Trojans for a chance to play in back-to-back Rose Bowls. Pac-12 championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you back. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Final half hour of the show as we count you down to Utah and USC. A Football Friday that, frankly, I didn't think we'd have this week. After Utah lost to Oregon, kind of figured that they would be done, and then we'd just wait and see what bowl game they're going to go to. But Coach a chance to go to back-to-back Pac-12 championship. I mean, Pac-12 championship games, and then potentially back-to-back Rose Bowls.
Absolutely. I tell you what, it's incredible what Kyle's done. And just, you know, you watch, and the interesting thing is they're deep in a lot of areas. Offensive line, they're too deep with really good players. Defensive line, deep with good players. And the one big D lineman has really made a big difference. Was it Pop?
Pepe.
What's his name?
Pepe, yeah. Yeah, Pepe.
Yeah. Pepe.
Yeah. Yeah, Peppa. He's made a big difference, just his emergence.
Yeah, you're talking about Simote Peppa?
Yeah, Simote Peppa.
Kid from Bingham.
Yeah, kid from Bingham, yeah. And so they've had, you know, and those guys, they're hungry guys, too. They're guys that are hungry for getting better. And I think all of them, the O-line and D-line have all gotten better. You know, as the season has gone on.
How much improved is Utah, especially on the defensive side of the ball, how much improved are they now as opposed to October 15th when they played?
Like night and day, really, because they're much better at gap control, and they're much better at playing their responsibilities as far as not giving up gaps. So they're not going to get pushed out of gaps. And so their gap responsibility is a lot cleaner. The linebackers are playing with a lot, you know, understanding where to scrape and what the reads are. And the reads are quicker, and it just looks more natural to them. And Morgan has done an incredibly good job, and I think Luther has really helped them. And the linebackers are much better, and Colton Swan has brought those guys along. So they're better. I think they're better in both lines than they were a month ago.
You just in our first segment here in the 2 o'clock hour broke this news that that you anticipate from the people that you've talked to that everybody will play. So that means that
I do.
That Dalton Kincaid is good enough to go.
Right.
And that doesn't mean 100%. That just means that they're good enough to go.
Right.
And Cam Rising is good enough to go.
Right.
I think that's critical on the offensive side.
Yeah.
Because I think the question going in, if those guys were not 100% or were not going to play, how many points do you have to put up to be able to beat this USC offense?
Yeah.
So if you were looking at a magic number of points that USC would have to be at or under in order for you to win this game, is it 28, is it 31, or is it less than that?
Well, it has to be probably in the 40s.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's a 42-38 type game. I mean, and so Utah's not going to shut this team out.
Right.
They got too many weapons. And I think field position, you know, what concerns me is Utah special teams is a little suspect.
Have been all year.
Yeah. So what you worry about.
Last 2 years.
Okay. But SC's not exactly, you know, a juggernaut in special teams.
Yes.
So I think that kind of breaks even a little bit. But I think the SC field goal guy is better. You know, and I think what worries me is Utah's guy probably, and it's not going to be at 5,000 feet or 4,500, he's going to kick the ball to the 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're going to get a chance to have field position.
Yeah.
And the field position will be between the 30 and the 35 rather than the 25.
Yeah.
Utah's starting point is probably going to be on the 25. So actually... probably on that kickoffs, SC will be one first down better than what the other. But then SC leads the nation, I think, in turnover margin, which is huge. And when the ball's in the air, that safety, the free safety, covers a lot of ground. And you can look at a coverage and say that route is there. And this safety has the ability to come out of nowhere and pick the ball right out of the sky.
Well, Hans, you mentioned that too, the fact that Cam Rising's got to be very, very careful, because there's some throws you can make against Washington State or Oregon State or even Oregon for that matter that you cannot make against USC, because if you let up for a second and try to force something in there, USC's going the other way with it.
Well, that's why you go back and look at Dalton Kincaid's effort against USC last time, and you're going to self-evaluate. Coach Mack, how much do you go back and self-evaluate and say, all right, these are the routes that we threw to Dalton. This is a team that's had 19 interceptions. How consistent do we want to get, and how much do we want to get away from maybe throwing Dalton as a flare and using Yasmin and some of these other targets? How do you self-scout like that, Coach?
Well, what you got to do is, you know, from their standpoint, you got to take the tight end out of the game. In other words, because that's there, everything goes to the tight end, and if you're going to get beat, you got to get beat by their wideouts, you know, by our wideouts, and so I would say they play man to man on the outside guys, probably man to man on the slot receiver, and then they combo on Kincaid and force the ball to go to somebody else.
Kincaid, though, the strength of the tight ends for Utah has been their ability to find the soft spot.
Oh, absolutely.
And you go back to the USC game, all the times that it was just a 5-yard route, spot up in between two guys that are zoning up, and you're wide open.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they take that away without.
Well, usually you if you want to, like, we'll split Kincaid a little bit, you know. In other words, like a 3.5-4, maybe a 3.5-4 split, you know, where he's got room to move. Okay, but what you want to do is you want to play your either it's got to be your outside back or somebody got to play him inside out. So you got to force Kincaid to release outside. Don't let him release inside, because if he releases inside, then you got to chase him. So you got to force him. You got to push him out. So you play inside out on him, force him to go out, and then come back in if he wants to run a cross route.
Yeah.
And force everything that they're throwing to him to the sideline. So you bracket inside and outside. So you're playing a guy inside, outside on him. So you're forcing him to release outside. If he wants to release inside, then the timing of the route is off.
Yeah.
So you bracket him and take him out of the game, and then force the other guys to beat you, and then you've got to have a good running game. You got to have a threat in the run game to get them to change what they're doing coverage-wise, because let's say Utah's second and seven, you know, then what you want to do is be second and five or less, or second and six and less, and then you're calling the game with the game you want. But if you're second and eight, second and 7.5 or whatever, then it goes to SC. But with SC, it doesn't matter what down and distance they have, because because the guy can, you know. If the guy is second and 21, he can still pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give me your – when you have a quarterback as dynamic as him, if you're Morgan Scally, you got to be careful about letting your dudes pin their ears back and get after the quarterback, because if they get out of position, he's
– Yeah.
But in theory, you'd like to put a spy on him, but he can out-juke and outrun your spy pretty easily too.
Probably the spy – wouldn't help, because you don't have a guy that could run
with him. Yeah.
So what you got to do is you got to maybe slow your pass rush, force the guy to throw from in the pocket. Don't let him get outside. But regardless of who you are, he's going to get outside on you, because he's all of a sudden he's inside, and then he spins and he goes outside, then he spins and comes back inside, and then he outruns the defensive end on the other side. I mean, so it's hard to manufacture the kid's speed, you know, and they could slow play their pass rush and try to just keep edges, and then try to force the middle to force him to the edge. But then the edge guys can't go by him either. Yeah. They have to go upfield and settle and then come back in and squeeze what they call squeeze the pocket and cage the quarterback. Nobody else has been able to do it. So I don't know if we're capable of doing it either. You know, and then, of course, if you send an extra guy on a blitz situation, then that guy knows exactly where the blitz is coming from, and he knows who's open. So it's an interesting matchup. Morgan has his hands full.
Coach, that feels like one of the issues with this USC offense, and I talked about this yesterday with Scotty a little bit. The way they make their movement with the H-back and with the way they overload, they provide extra gaps off of a power side, and they'll get this Austin Jones, this kid that's taken over for Travis Dye, in an outside gap, and you almost have to bring that extra defender for the run game. And I keep asking myself, is that what Morgan's going to do? Is Morgan going to throw everything that he's got to stop this run game that ends up putting some of these defensive backs on islands? How would you attack that? Do you leave that extra?
Traditionally, Utah's thing is stop the run first and force teams into a one-dimensional game. I mean, that's kind of been the philosophy going back to when I was there and after I left, and that's been the mantra there for the last 25 years. You know, we're not going to let a running back get over 100 yards versus, and we're going to if they're going to beat us, they're going to have to beat us with the passing game, and we're going to force them to be one dimensional, and so that's been the basis of the defense for many years. So you know, but the kid, the running back that they've been playing with the last few weeks, I'll tell you what, he's a lot stronger guy than Dye, you know, in his lower half. So he has the ability to break tackles, where Dye was just a really smart player. He just understood the creases, and he was good in the passing game. But this other back is a downhill strong guy. And he's a little bit like the UCLA guy. You know, he's a good, you know, he's dangerous.
All right, 2:42, Hans and Scotty. Hans is down in Las Vegas, and Hans, you got kind of set the schedule for what you got coming up today, because you're only about 2 hours and 15 minutes from really taking control of the station as we get ready for this game.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too, man. It's so much fun just broadcasting here at the Mandalay Bay. We're just across the freeway from Allegiant Stadium. So Christian, Wesley Tonga, myself, Lloyd Cole, we're all going to just hike over as soon as we close up shop here. Hike over, go get our media badges, get ready for that, kind of scout out where we're going to be watching this game. Send some videos out. So make sure you're following all the social media at 975 Hans, at Lloyd Cole Zone, at Scotty G Zone. You can follow on Instagram as well, because we'll be throwing some Instagram posts out there. Make sure you're following KSL Sports at KSL Sports, because we'll be posting some stuff through that as we get things set up. Show you some images of Utah fans and USC fans and get that all set up. And then we'll come back here 4 o'clock Vegas time, 5 o'clock Salt Lake City time. We're going to kick off your Pac-12 championship pregame show live from the Mandalay Bay here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. And then, of course, game gets played. We'll be right back here for postgame. We'll take phone calls. We'll give full analysis. We're just hanging out, having a blast. And, Scotty, it's so fun, man. It's fun because just sitting here talking with Wesley Tonga, just to see all of the former players and see everybody that's so excited and packed in for this championship game and thinking about it being a sold-out crowd, it's just a really cool representation for the state of Utah. And we're all excited to analyze it and bring it to you.
Let's go. Final segment coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The Zone is counting you down to the kickoff of the 2022 Pac-12 Championship Game between Utah and USC. Pac-12 Championship Game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you bank. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Alema Harrington, Ron McBride. One final segment before We shut things down for a couple hours. Unrivaled will square. We'll take over from 3 to 5, and then Hans will be back on live from Vegas at 5 o'clock, counting you down to kickoff with Utah and USC at 6 o'clock. So, Coach, got to write the script for me. How's this thing going to play out tonight?
Okay, the first thing I just want to, you know, I was at a funeral before I came here today. Jason Potter played for me at Utah. And I just want to publicly acknowledge what a fine young man he was, and that everything we go out, everything goes out to his family and his loved ones. And he was a special young man, and like I said, you know, if everybody asked me, well, was I going to the game, I said, the player is more important than the game. Mm. And so, he's only 44 years old, and that's just a tragic event. But to get to the game, I think it's going to go down to the fourth quarter, and I think that Utah will be the stronger team in the fourth quarter. But it'll be like a 42-38 type game, Field position will probably be a big thing for Utah. Maybe not as much for SC than it would be for Utah, but Utah needs to be in a positive field position so they can operate. But they don't need to operate from inside their own five or whatever. And the other thing is, you worry a little bit about officiating, because whether and the reason I say that is
I don't disagree with you on this,
because, you know, it's a chance. SC wins a game, they'll mm-hmm. be the Final Four.
Right.
Okay, this is a money thing. This is a huge thing for the conference. And don't you think that these officials have been reminded of what's going on, or they don't know what's going on?
Yeah.
And so I would say that the game may be called a little tighter on one side than the other. And when do you know who the four officials are?
No, and that's what I'm going to bring up here, because I don't think so. Here's I'll play into the conspiracy theory here.
Let's go.
I don't think George Kolovkov sends out a memo to the officials and says, "Hey, USC's got to win this game."
No, so you don't leave that kind of paper trail.
If you know what's right, if you want to know, you want to be back in this conference next year, you know what you better do. But I do think John Canzano came on our air. He's right. A Pac-12 insider, does a really good job, and he had. He tried to reach out to the Pac-12 to find out who the officials were. They did not tell him who the officials were going into this game. And I don't think officials actually meaning – well, I don't know. There might be some that try to throw a game. But I do think
– wait. Scotty, gee.
No. But I do think what you can do as a Pac-12, you can look at, okay, let's say Utah plays really aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Their defensive backs will be really handsy. So let's bring in a crew that's a little bit more stringent on how they call, you know, pass interference and holding down. That's how they could control a game, is putting officials in that would be leaning one more based on their tendencies on how they call the game. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's a good analogy.
And I think that's why, you know, and if I'm George Kolovkov and I want USC to win this game, I'm going to like, okay, let's hold off. Let's analyze these officials, what they like to call, what they don't like to call. Oh, that would be in USC's favor. Bam.
I think that will be a very interesting component of when we're watching this game here tonight.
Yeah.
Is to, you know, try to color each one of the calls that is made and figure out, you know, if that was necessary, would they have made that call in a different situation? Because obviously, best case scenario for the conference is for USC to win and go on to, you know, the playoff. But we just heard from Kyle, Coach Whittingham, in the soundbite coming into this segment. He loves playing the underdog, you know, that role. And I agree. I think Utah plays much better from that position. And they certainly are in that position here tonight.
Yeah.
And so I think that bodes well for Utah, especially if you look at what happened in the Pac-12, just for them to be here tonight. It was all the underdogs that won that got them to the position where they are, actually in the championship game. So, But I agree. I think I'll be watching this game, and every call will be scrutinized.
Hands, you think things get a little sideways tonight?
With the officials, I could see some things happening. These Pac-12 officials have been really rough all year long. Some questionable calls on targeting, and you get an early ejection on somebody. You really can sway or really push the direction of a game by saying, oh, nope, that's a quick helmet to helmet. And I know that they've had some issues with that. The other thing is, Scotty, we talked about the 100 yards of penalties that USC suffered when they played at Rice-Eccles Stadium. 100 yards of penalties in that
loss. A lot of that was the Utah crowd, too.
Exactly. We talked about that, just the influence of the crowd influencing the officials, influencing on the field. You can't hear the calls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that there is that type of Utah contingent here, that they can make it a tough environment and that their voice is felt and heard. But, I don't know who the Pac-12 really wants to win in this. I don't think they want to promote the Big Ten's newest toy.
Well, from a standpoint of the league at this point, the league needs SC in the Final Four.
Yeah. I would, because it's not, in the end, it's not a Big Ten team yet.
Right.
They go in and they win this thing, then that's still a representative of the Pac-12 conference.
Right. Because this league, the Pac-12 league, hasn't had much respect in the last 8 years, 8 or 9 years. And so this is the year to get the kind of respect back, because you have five really good teams in the Pac-12 that all could be very representative in bowl games.
Yeah. To Hans's point, I don't know how you go back and rewrite history at some point when they are a part of the Big Ten along with UCLA, and you can't use any of their promotional stuff in the Pac-12, as you're promoting your league. Everybody's going to see USC and they say, well, that's a Big Ten team. So I get your point, Hans, but I think for the time being, that's a Pac-12 property right there.
So and also in the Final Four, you don't need Alabama, you don't need Ohio State, you need some new blood too.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say, you got Georgia, you've got TCU, who's the third one? Georgia, TCU.
Clemson.
Michigan.
Michigan. Well, yeah.
And SC. That would be a nice Final
Four. I know.
Four.
No Alabama, no Clemson.
Yeah. No Alabama, no Clemson, And then possibly in the game out here, the Rose Bowl, it would be interesting to see, does it have to be, does it still have to be a Big Ten team?
Yes, for now. For this year, it will be.
Okay, so.
So it'll be, probably be, could be Ohio State again.
Yeah.
They're talking about a possible snub there, Scotty. A lot of people are promoting this Penn State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Penn State would be a fun
talking
fun
about
team.
A Penn State invite.
Mm. Yeah, that would be good. And whoever we have from the Pac-12, they would do well against Penn State.
Yeah, most likely Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for us. Hans, I know you got everything cracking here in about a couple hours from right now. Let's go. Let's have some fun down there.
Stay eligible, Hans.
Hey, I know that Hans is not paying for his room. Are you staying overnight or are you driving back so you get your gas deal?
Depends on what text messages he gets.
You take
an overnight
gas
stay.
Per diem.
I know you didn't fly down because you wanted your per diem.
No, I didn't fly. I did drive because I wanted mileage. But and then
did you drive?
I didn't even drive. I'll be honest. I didn't drive. Lloyd drove.
Lloyd drove. Okay. And I know that. When they stop, when you stop to get gas, you charge it on your account.
Yeah.
So you get the money back. And just like you did on the golf
and
tournament,
and you grabbed
with
a
Lloyd.
Couple extra receipts out of the trash can. It's like, grab those.
Don't worry, Lloyd. I'll take care of you.
Alima, do you have donuts
free,
or something?
That's free money right there. What are we doing?
Alima, let's talk about your eating. I like when Coach Mack talks about that.
Don't try to change the
subject.
Yeah,
don't change the subject. What we're doing here is dealing with facts.
Hey, I don't want any of you to worry because I've got Bishop Christian Cox here. Got me on a very early curfew. I'm got to be in the room.
Is Christian Cox a bishop?
Well, not yet. He's headed that way.
No, he's on a fast track. He's
in a bishop in waiting.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I've got the devil Lloyd sitting on his shoulder. So
yeah, you do. You got one on each shoulder, that's for sure.
Lloyd, there are no freebies in life.
Well, again, Unrivaled coming up next. Then at 5 o'clock, we'll transition into the Ute pregame show. It's all straight ahead. Big thanks to our good friends here at Mountainland Supply. Power equipment, everything you need. Snow blowers, you tired of shoveling snow? You come down here, you get a snow blower. All sizes ready to go. It's at Mountainland Supply, 2808 South Main Street in Salt Lake City. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.